Get in, sit down, hold on, and listen up. You're in the RenaissanceMarineGroup.com's Wheelhouse, brought to you by Weldcraft, Duckworth, and Northwest Boats.
Welcome to the Wheelhouse here on 710 ESPN's The Outdoor Line. If there's one big game species in Washington, really, that inspires the most passion, I honestly believe it's elk. And mm-hmm. you know, they're the most vocal of all our big game species. And then, you know, and then late summer, early autumn, you know, you can get out there and bugle and you can talk back to them, bring them in. Probably the toughest time of year to try to get even close to one is late fall, early winter. When they're, man, they're tired from the rut season. And
they've broken away from the herds. They've
got no way to find them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it doesn't matter what time of year it is, Nelly.
It doesn't. And so our next guest, Sarah Gamache, put in the work and put down a monster boulder in the late muzzleloader. She joins us now. You can find her on Instagram at PNW Huntress. Sarah Gamache, welcome to the show and good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
And thanks for taking a break from
butchering.
Butchering your animal. I understand you're doing it yourself. And that's no small chore there. You sent me a picture a little bit ago of a backstrap that's over 3 feet long. And you're two-handing this thing. It looks to be, I don't know, 30, 40 pounds, just a monster backstrap. You got to be just ecstatic from not only this big bull that you put down here recently with your muzzleloader, but you shot a beautiful four-point blacktail back in the fall. What a great season, and I know it didn't come easy. You've been working your tail off. I want you to tell our listeners how this whole elk thing went down, because this story is just classic, and you hunt by yourself. Your husband isn't even a hunter, so tell our listeners about this whole story, because I think it's just fascinating.
Yeah, well, I always say my husband, he hunts bad guys, so he is in his own way. He hunts the bad guys, I hunt the animals. But, yeah, he's military, so he's mm-hmm. gone 6 to 8 months out of the year. And I knew that he was going to be gone this year during my hunting season, and I was, you know, a little bummed about that because we have two small children. So when he's gone, mm-hmm. you know, that leaves me being kind of like a single mom who's in charge of running a household and taking care of two kids, and I own my own business, so that keeps me busy. And so I decided that I really wanted to try to make sure that I could get a multi-season take for elk this year, so that way I had the most amount of time to hunt possible. So in August every year, you know, all the retailers throughout the state that sell licenses and tags will sell the leftover multi-season elk tags. But the trick is you have to get to one of those retailers super early in the morning, get in line and kind of like be a crazy person camped outside waiting for them to open their doors, kind of like people do, you know, to get concert tickets.
Mm-hmm.
So I had done that, gone to a local place. I think I got there like 5 in the morning and was like third in line. And I remember that the two guys that were ahead of me, that, are you here holding a spot for your husband? Like, no, I'm here myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I sat in that line for a good 6 hours. And then when they opened the doors and got me in the system, I was one of the lucky ones that the first three of us got the multi-season. So I was super excited about that. So that was like, you know, how it all started off. And I do hunt, you know, all three weapons, so that's perfect. So I was able to utilize all three of the seasons. And I did, like you said, I hunted hard. I literally went out every morning and every evening of every season leading up basically to the day that I shot my bull. So I actually had to even hire a nanny to help me with my kids during that time. And I would wake up early in the morning and go do my morning hunt. And then I would rush home and pick up the kids and take them to school and go to work. And then I would come back mm-hmm. and do like, you know, a late afternoon, early evening hunt and come home and make dinner and, you know, do all the other motherly things. And I just did that on repeat for every season.
Well,
it kind of turned into like Groundhog's Day.
Oh, to talk about dedication. My goodness. And then I understand your husband was home for a week from being overseas, and you were actually hunted the whole week he was home. So, yeah.
I did.
A little role reversal
that was,
there.
That was
classic.
My bad wife moment. I said, he's very understanding
yeah.
and supportive of it. So.
Well, I bet your husband enjoys the elk meat, though, because, I mean, it's some of the most phenomenal meat you can put on the table, and it's so healthy for you. Does he, I'm sure he enjoys it on the dinner table.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, him and my kids. I actually started feeding both my kids game meat, you know, from the time they could could chew and eat food. So they both enjoy it. So the whole family. So it's going to be, yes, it's going to be appreciated for sure.
Now, you grew up, you know, I've got two little girls at home, and they're just gung-ho to go hunting. Did you grow up in a hunting household? Did your dad take you out when you were younger? How'd you get into it, Sarah?
I did, yep. That's exactly how my dad, you know, I started out doing it as a way to spend time with my dad. I started hunting when I was 11. And at 11, I don't know how much you can really truly fully appreciate everything about hunting. So for me at that point, it was just I enjoyed being out with my dad in the woods. That was some of the best time we got to spend together. And then as I got older into my teens is when I kind of really started to appreciate it and wanted to start hunting by myself. Kind of like when I was in high school, you know, my friends were playing soccer and doing all these other traditional sports, and I was never any good at any sports. So hunting kind of became my thing. So I started hunting by myself, like I said, in my late teens, and then have been doing it ever since and just grown to love it more and more the older I get.
Oh, that's incredible. Yeah. So talk about this bull now. Big 7x7 Roosevelt, just a monster bull.
Just a masher.
And you mostly hunt public land, but tell a story about this bull and how this whole thing went down.
Yeah, I do a lot of mostly public land hunting. There's also some private pieces that I hunt, and I had actually gotten pictures of him from back in July even. I had some cameras set up and got to see him in velvet, and I picked him out. There were several bulls, but I was like, that is the one. He's got great character, and he's very impressive, horns and body. And so I was just able to kind of watch him over all the seasons and figure out what his patterns were, you know, when he was coming out. And you know, he was very active, like, even in the middle of the day. He wasn't just traditionally coming out, like, in the mornings and before dark. He was showing himself more close to when I got him, you know, in the late mornings. And so it's kind of how I figured out where he was going to be and around what times is by patterning him over all these seasons.
And so how did you make the approach, the morning? You said it was a late morning, and usually these guys are just timbered up and just by themselves. So was it a spot and stalk? You're walking through the woods and just looking for an antler tip or looking for something? I mean, how did you finally make the approach that ended up with you putting him on the ground with your muzzleloader?
Well, I'd seen him on the cameras the days leading up to that. And like I said, paying attention to when he was coming in. So I knew he was in that area. And I had actually had a blind that I had set up, so it was out of a ground blind. And I just knew that I had to sit long enough to wait for him to come out, that if he didn't show up, you know, right at daylight, that if I was patient enough and just stayed, you know, a few hours longer, that he would show up based on his patterns, and he did, so.
Wow, good for you. Talk about putting in the work.
Yeah,
unbelievable amount of work. And now you got this giant bull down. How'd you get it? Did you pack it out? Did you put it in the truck? How'd you get this thing out?
Well, I got it and I called my brother, who's one of my best hunting partners. Mm-hmm. If I'm going to hunt with anyone, it's always my brother. He was in Idaho because him and I had been hunting in Idaho. So I had came back from Idaho and he was still over there, so I couldn't call him. My dad was at work. My husband, he just got back from his deployment. He was at work. And so I got a hold of a family friend that came out and helped me. And then my dad got off work and came out and helped us. But, we were able to get him out fairly easy. We used a quad and a winch and loaded him up, in the back of a pickup and took him out to my dad's place and hung him. And when we hung him, it actually broke. He broke the hanging rack there. We'd hung elk on before, elk on before, but it just completely bent in half.
700 pounds?
700 pounds. I mean, everyone that saw him said this biggest bodied elk that they'd seen.
I mean,
he could be
800. That could be an 800 pound.
Yeah, Rosies are they're big animals, man.
Yeah, so. And phenomenal. Just go look at the picture of Sarah Gamache standing behind this 7x7 masher, and that's just phenomenal. I mean, congratulations. What a wonderful experience.
Thank you.
What a wonderful hunt. But so now, what's next? You didn't just culminate your career right here. I know you're already thinking and looking and probably preparing for next year. So what is next for Sarah Gamache?
Well, I think probably during the off season, I'm going to keep shooting my bow. You know, that really became my true passion this year because I bought a Bowtech from Sportco in the spring. and that this was my first year bow hunting, and I had, you know, shot a nice blacktail with, and I kind of had it in my mind that I wanted to shoot an elk with a bow this year, and, you know, that didn't work out. So I'm hoping that next year that I can just exclusively bow hunt. I want to do some, like, local little competitions, some shooting competitions, and thinking about, you know, doing, like, a spring bear hunt and that kind of stuff. So that's kind of what I'm working towards. I got my daughter a bow. She started watching me and got excited about it, so I want to work with her. And now my four-year-old son's asking for a bow for Christmas, so we're going to get him one. And I kind of want to really spend time with the kids doing that. They lost their mom quite a bit during hunting season, and so I'm going to try to make up for that.
So did you have to lay off the nanny now that hunting season's over? Really? She got laid off for the rest of the year or what?
Yeah. Like, I'll get a hold of you next year.
Yeah. And the nanny had to look at you. You're going to do what?
Yeah,
you're going to.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully I can introduce my girls to you one of these days. They're so excited to go hunting too. They're just gung ho for it, especially our oldest. She's already asking for a bow and all that stuff. So maybe we can run into you one of these days. And congrats on the great hunting season. And we look forward to talking to you in the future too. I have a feeling that next year is going to be even better for you. I see some out of state hunts coming and a pretty good season ahead. So.
I hope so. Thank you, guys.
No, thank you. We appreciate it. Thank you for your time this morning. She's Sarah Gamache. You can find her on Instagram at PNW Huntress. Thank you so much, Sarah. Good job. You're a real inspiration to a lot of folks out there. And thanks again for joining us.
And tell your husband thank you for your service as well.
Yeah,
appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sarah. Thank you, guys.
Have a great weekend.
All right.
All right.